Be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also, and bear them up forever. You may be seated, and we can dismiss our sneezing children.
Good morning. I think Norman's been keeping up with Paul and Mary as they're traveling through Europe and into France, and having a great time. He's sending some pictures, so maybe we'll get some of those pictures and put them up here and say, wish we were there, right? But we'll continue also here to pray for those that are without power and all the things that are going on with this hurricane. I think now it is pretty much gone from us, but I think, as it was mentioned earlier, Maine, Canada, all the way up in that area, there's still a lot of damage being reported. So let's continue to pray for them. We had our conference this week out in Stone Mountain, and it was just a blessing. It was encouraging because, you know, as we've been praying, as we had everybody, I think about 2 weeks ago, we had everybody down front just really seeking more of what the Lord has for them, seeking more of Jesus in their lives, seeking the power of the Holy Spirit, seeking direction and vision. And as we got to the conference Tuesday morning, it was just an overwhelming confirmation that it's not just us praying for that. This is happening around a lot of different churches. We're all seeking to stay first and foremost in the Word, to stay first and foremost led by the Spirit, but just be willing to be whatever God calls us to be and to do whatever he calls us to do. And we are excited to see, I believe, what he's going to do here in Cartersville. And I'm going to go ahead and mention this now. I may mention it again at the end of the service, but I'm going to be asking that each one of us begin to set a certain period of time aside. It's within your time. I'm not going to make this a corporate command for everybody at whatnot, because I know we all have different schedules, but I want us to start to really considering taking that hour and spending in prayer. And if you're willing to commit to that, specifically starting within the next 2 weeks, we're going to put it in the bulletin next week. We're going to put it in the announcements, and Norma will be sending emails out. But prayer and fasting, I really believe that we need to really be focusing and really putting ourselves in that place of seeking God's plan and his direction. But let's go to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you. We praise you that you are with us. We praise you for your word. We praise you for your power. We praise you, Lord, that you receive our worship. And we thank you, Lord, that you speak through your word. We ask this morning that you will open our hearts, open our minds and our ears to all that you have for us today. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, our title this morning is Your Strength in Me. This is my prayer. Your strength in me. Now, we covered in chapter 1 Paul's message to Timothy that God did not give him a spirit of fear, but he gave him a spirit that has power and love and a sound mind. And with that said, he told them not to be ashamed of the gospel. We covered that last week. Not to be ashamed of the gospel. And Paul was even making it personal with Timothy when he says, you know, don't be ashamed of me and my chains as I'm in prison when I'm writing this letter. And he also told him of all of those who abandoned him, except for one, Onesiphorus, who came to him and ministered to him. Now this week we pick up in chapter 2, and we have another therefore. So in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul is now encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and now to begin to raise up other men and to pour into them as he and others poured into Timothy. Now, in this passage, when he says the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the Greek word for grace here is charis, and it's the divine favor, gift, and influence upon the heart, and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. And I think it's very important that's part of the interpretation here and definition as we're reading this. So what Paul is saying to Timothy is, he says, be strong in God's divine influence, which is His favor and a gift given to you, and be or remain faithful and remain thankful. See, this is so important for Paul to write this to Timothy, because he knows what's coming against him. Paul himself has experienced all of the suffering that he's gone through, and he's now in prison. And he knows that his time is short. He is soon to be beheaded. He's soon to be killed for the Lord's sake. And what he's telling Timothy is to remain and be strong in God's grace and His strength that is in you. It's a gift from God. And in the midst of all of things that you go through, everything that you wind up suffering and ministering, all the aspect of ministry in general, be thankful. Be thankful, because we know that God's hand is the one that's directing your path. So he wants him to understand that this divine influence and favor is a gift given by God, and he needs to remain thankful. Now, we know we cannot be strong within ourselves. Many have tried. There have been many movements of God that have been built on man's shoulders, and they collapse. They morph into ugly things sometimes, because it's not God leading, it's man leading. And sometimes you get movements that deny God's power, because they want things to be all about what you're going to get from God. So you get all the prosperity things, and then people just come and they flock in by all the positive teaching, but there's no substance. There's nothing to sustain people when they go through suffering. And they want to question, wait a minute, if I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to have all of this good stuff. How come I'm suffering over here? It's because many times people are not taught that Christianity brings suffering. To trust in God, you're going to go through suffering. It's not all about what you're going to get in this world. It's not about this world at all. It's that you're laying your foundation upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing with others, ministering with others, encouraging one another, and laying the foundation for your eternal presence with God. That's why we're here. It's not about what we're going to get out of it. But our fleshly nature is weak in this area. I mean, and I've said it 100 times, every time I drive by the billboard on the highway and all the mega million dollars, you know, my heart says, well, Lord, look what we could do with all that money. And God says, yeah, and I know what you'd mess up with it too. And that's why you're not going to get it. But our fleshly nature is drawn to the fleshly things. And we tend to want to depend upon ourselves. We want to depend upon our own strength. It causes us to try to fix everything within ourselves. And it always ends up a disaster. Instead of going to the Lord, instead of submitting to Him, instead of asking Him, Lord, I can't handle this problem. I know that my flesh has ideas and ways to fix it, but I give it to You because You have the power. Your glory can come in and take care of this, and You will receive glory for it. But we also, that fleshly nature, wants to try to get a little glory for ourselves too. Well, look how I solved this problem. Look how I ministered here and fixed this. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be strong in Him, strong in His grace, and we then can have peace and rest no matter what comes our way, because we're dependent upon Him, not our circumstances. We're not looking at those. We've given those over to Him. We're not dependent upon how we think it should be done. And I've had many conversations with guys, and when we have our men's group, this comes up sometimes. It's like, you know, God always comes through and always solves the problem. Most of the time, it's in a way we don't expect, because we had it figured out one way, and God says, no, let me show you how I'm going to do it. And He comes through, and He solves, and He moves on behalf of us and His people. Before Moses died, He raised up Joshua to take his place. In Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8, it says, "Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, 'Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed.'" Moses knew where his strength came from. And he was passing on, just as Paul is passing to Timothy, Moses was passing to Joshua and said, "Be strong in the Lord. Take courage in His power, for He will be with you. He will go before you. He will not leave you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the challenge that you're going to face. The giants in the land. All of the people that are going to come against you as you go in and enter into the land that God called you to go." And then God confirms this in Joshua. And we read this in Joshua 1, 6 through 9. He says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And this promise that was given to Joshua is the same promise that's given to Timothy, and it's the same promise that's given to us, that when we go in the power and the strength of the Lord, He will be with us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will put forth our steps and tell us which way we're to go. Does that mean that we're going to have it all easy and wonderful? No. Israel didn't have it easy and wonderful. Matter of fact, because of their own belief, they had it pretty bad. They brought a lot of the issues upon themselves because they didn't obey what God had called them to do. But as believers today, we're to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We're to put our hope in His Word. And we're to put our feet to the path that He sets us upon based on our relationship with Him. Not religious activities, not programs, not all the things that we are supposed to do, because that within itself distracts us from walking with the Lord many times. Oh, well, such and such church is doing this, 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 and this, so we need to be doing this, 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 and this. That's not according to God's Word. What we're supposed to be doing is what He directs us to do. It may be completely different than what other people are doing. And I'm not saying that what other people are doing is wrong. It's just that we don't need to sign on to every movement that comes across our way and jump on board with everything that's happening because we want to duplicate or replicate what we see going on around us. We're called to be submitted to the Lord and for Him to use us where we're planted. We're planted here in Cartersville, Georgia. This is where God is going to do His work. He's going to do His work through the people that are obedient to Him. He's going to do the work through the people who are submitted and trusting Him and understanding that in all things, it's in His power, it's in the grace that He's given us and bestowed upon us, and it's in His strength that He's going to accomplish what He's going to accomplish. And God told Joshua three times in the passage we just read to be strong and courageous. And twice He tells him that He would be with him. God repeated Himself three times on one point and two places on another. And He confirms it to us through His Word, the same thing. He will be with us. He will be with us. In Isaiah 12:2, He says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation." In Ephesians 6:10, we read, "Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The power of His might, not our own. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:9, we read, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" And we know that this was when Paul had the thorn in the flesh, and he went to the Lord and three times asked Him to remove it. And God said, no. He said, "I'm not going to remove it." And Paul went on to say, it kept him humble. It kept him in humility. But God was strong through Paul in the midst of Paul's weakness in the flesh. And that's what we have to stand upon. These testimonies that we read in Scripture are wonderful. They're powerful for us because we understand that it's the same God that directed their paths, the same God that was strong in them, is the same God that gives us our strength and upholds us in the moments when the wave of sorrow and the wave of suffering, the waves of persecution and trial, when they come washing over us, we still have our power through Him in us. And that's a powerful God. The only God. The living God. He is our hope. And we know that we're going to be weak in our flesh. We should always remember that. The pride will creep in the door when we leave any avenue for it to come in. And when we get a hold, and that pride gets a hold of us, and all of a sudden we start doing things, we start working this, we start doing that, and it becomes about us, and the next thing we find ourselves face down on the ground because God said, "I didn't tell you to do that. That wasn't me, that was your desire. Let me put my desires into you." If we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart, and those desires will not be our flesh. They will be the spiritual desires that He's placed within us because we're delighting in Him. That's what we're called as believers to be, delighting in the Lord in the midst of our circumstances. The Lord tells us over and over that we find our strength in Him and Him alone. So why does He tell it to us over and over? Why don't we see all of these passages about His strength? It's because we have such a short memory. We tend to forget how God moved on our behalf. We forget what happened yesterday. So easily, we can have a wonderful victory that God has worked something out in our lives, and today we could be down and gloomy, and we forget the power that we have within a loving God, that He's within us and He does these things. We have that short memory, and we tend to fall back on our flesh. We go back to schemes and plans to handle spiritual things in worldly ways. We're not supposed to be handling spiritual things in worldly ways. Those should not even mix. And we've talked about this many times, that the world has gotten into the church. The world's programs and plans and systems have gotten in, and ways to grow your church by doing your demographics and putting this together and that together and doing all of these things in order to hit the market. We're not to market the church. We're to trust Jesus, to let Him use His power within us to minister to people, and His Spirit does the work. It's not a plan. It's not a scheme. But we tend to go to these things. And before we met Jesus, we lived in our own strength. And I can tell you this, in my life, and I'm almost sure that everyone here who really has a relationship with the Lord can attest to this, that we tried it our way, and we were broken. We were broken. And His power, the Holy Spirit came, gave us comfort, gave us understanding, realizing who Jesus is, accepting Him as not just our Savior, but as our Lord, submitting to Him, walking with Him. And it was in that broken state that we were able to see Him for who He is. So everything we can try to do will end up all messed up. We come to Jesus broken and weak. He saves us. He cleanses us. He transforms us. And He strengthens us. And somehow, some way, we get the idea that now we've all put back together and we have peace in our lives, we can now live in our strength once again. Israel, we see it all through Israel's history. They turned from the Lord. They were chastised. Sometimes they were taken into captivity. They would seek the Lord. He would relent. He'd have mercy. He would deliver them. And before they even got out of Egypt, they didn't like the way they were being delivered. Oh, well, we don't know what's going to happen. What are we going to eat? I give you manna from heaven. They didn't like that. He gave them quail. They complained about that. They didn't have water to drink. Water came from the rock. Well, at least we knew where we were in Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt. They would rather live in the bondage of what they knew than to trust by faith in the freedom that comes in a relationship with God as He delivers and walks them along, because they couldn't see what was coming next. That's again, that human nature. We want to know all the facts. Okay, here's my checklist. Lord, I got this issue, and here's my checklist. Now, when I see you check off each one of these, then I know that it's you moving, and it has to be done by such and such a time, because you know this is coming, and I got to take care of this problem. So here's, and we give it all to the Lord with our expectations and our ideas how He's going to handle it, and He wads up that paper, throws it away, and handles it Himself. And when we're done, we say, praise God, I see how you did it. It was completely different than I expected. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And then the next wave comes, and we go through it all over again. Paul exhorts Timothy to always remember to be strong in the grace of God that saved him in the beginning, and never forget who holds him up. Never forget that it's God who holds us up. He sustains us. He sustains the ministry of which we're called to do. He sustains everything. He created everything. He sustains everything. No surprises with God. It's another wonderful thing we can always grab a hold of. We may be surprised by something coming our way, but God never is. He's always, always seeing everything going on around us. Now, after this exhortation, he says to commit these truths to other men who can teach others also. And again, we saw that back even with Moses. He was called for him to raise up Joshua. Paul, raising up Timothy. We're to raise up men of God who have a heart for him, who have a desire for him, and have a willingness to say, here I am, send me. And for those who have that heart, and for those who have the Spirit of God upon them, they are the ones we're just supposed to be pouring into. We're pouring into these people through the Word, through prayer, through laying on of hands even. That's what we talked about that last week, I believe, with Timothy. You know, Paul mentioned, maybe it was the week before, but Paul mentioned, he said, look, you know, it was prophesied over you, and hands were laid upon you to confirm that this is your ministry that God has raised you up to do. And so we are called that we need to raise up other people, men, and men who can teach other men, women that can teach women. We need to raise them up. We need to be prepared spiritually to watch and listen as God brings people to us for that purpose. We need to be available. And this doesn't mean that we just lay hands on everyone and make it happen. You know, we could make a big hand laying on service or whatever and send everybody out, but if God's not anointing them, if God's not calling them, it has to be from Him. He's the one that brings and raises people up, but we need to be available to pour into these people as He brings them. What we need to be doing is praying that God would send us those who have a servant's heart. We need those that have a servant's heart. At the conference this week, one of the speakers said that the local body, the church, takes on the characteristic of the leadership and the giftings that are in that body. And that's true. That's very true. And we know that we don't want to develop programs for program's sake. But if anyone has a heart to do something that we're not currently doing, and they want to serve in that area, we welcome you to come and discuss it. And we can pray over it. And if the Lord's laid it upon your heart to be involved in that, then hey, hallelujah, let's move in that direction. But sometimes people come to expect that they want to have certain things going on, but they don't want to be involved in it. They just want it to be there. And what God wants to do is to raise up people that have the heart for it, to give them the desire of their heart and allow them to move in that ministry and move forward. And my prayer is to have a stronger outreach ministry. That's my prayer. And I believe God is raising that up. He's really begun to stir my heart with it. And I'm asking for those here today that have a heart for that to come and talk to me, and we can start really putting more things together to do. Now, we're going to go out soon, again, out to the park, and we're going to have our outreach at the park. It was interesting. I was driving up to a piece of property that I leased for hunting season. I was going through, and there's this guy standing in the middle of the road. His car's off to the side. And I pull up. He waved me down. He was waving every car down. And he was handing out a card. I encourage you. He said, Jesus loves you. This was just doing what God had called him to do. And he really encouraged me. And we talked for a few minutes, and he goes to a local church down here in town, and he said, I just want to encourage you to get into the fellowship, get into a fellowship and serve God. And I said, man, I just tell you how much I appreciate you being out here and doing what God's called you to do. One man, who knows how many people he ministered to that day. I thought he was collecting money, to be honest with you. Because you know how the guys will get on the side of the road and they'll corners and they'll have buckets. So the fire department does it and different ministries do it. But he wasn't asking for money. He was just encouraging people. Jesus loves you. Just want you to know that. And boy, the smile on his face, he was an encouragement. And we all need to be able and be willing to do what God calls us to do in ministry. We've talked, matter of fact, I think recently I've just heard some stirrings about possible jail ministry. And those who have been talking about it, I'm praying about it, and I'm praying with you on it. And if God is opening some doors, we want to move in that direction. We want to be available for that. They're all wonderful things, and as they develop, we'll continue to seek the Lord on them. And again, my prayer is that God would raise up from the body that we have or bring new people in that have the heart for evangelism and would come and help organize these things as well as other ministries. And this is not just to grow our church. I want you to understand that. We're not talking about just having our seats filled. That would be wonderful. I pray God will do that. And matter of fact, this is very interesting, but I came in, I set the signs out on Friday. I try to get them out right at 5 o'clock because the city ordinance says if you get them out before that, they can pull them up. So we put our signs out Friday after 5, and they have to come down before 8 o'clock on Monday morning. So I got here early Friday, and so as I was walking through, I anointed each one of these chairs and prayed over each chair and said, God, I pray that you will bring the people that you want to come in, that you want to sit in these chairs, that have a heart for you, that want to serve you and be raised up in ministry how you call them to be. That was my prayer. And it's going to continue to be my prayer. And I'm not trying to manipulate people into doing something. That's not at all what I'm saying here. It will be from the Lord, and it will come from Him to you. It may be a confirmation in your own heart when someone speaks to you about things, but it may just be that you already know that God is calling me to do something and you want to be a part. But we want to grow into the kingdom of God. If we minister to people and they're encouraged and they accept Jesus and they don't want to come here, hallelujah, to go wherever God's calling you to go. We don't have membership. We don't have signing cards. All we have is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we want to encourage others to have the same where He's calling you to be. And this is what Jesus commands us to do, to be available to people. In Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God wants to and is going to use this church in Cartersville as a beacon of light for Jesus. We're not trying to be anything special. We're not trying to be anything big. We're just trying to be obedient. And through our obedience to Him, He will shine the light into the community and beyond. But in order for this to happen, we need to be in prayer. We need to be seeking these things in prayer. For our church and for each one of us, because you are the church. He wants us to be seeking that direction. And also seeking that He would send others to come alongside and serve with us to accomplish all that God's called us to do. So I am asking for each one of us to commit to a specific time of prayer between you and the Lord. I'm not going to say you got to do it at this such a time, but if you commit to a time, I ask that you will commit to it. Stick to it. And can be consistent with it. Because I believe that that's what we need to do, is to spend time in prayer asking for God to move in this church. Romans 12:12, this was Paul speaking to the church, says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. In Ephesians 6:17-19, he says, and take this, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're to be praying continually for one another. We're to be praying continually for our community. We're to be praying continually that God would use us to be a light in this world. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And again, here we have that thanksgiving again. See, God wants us to come to Him with a thankful heart, even though we don't feel very thankful. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our emotions. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ and being obedient, whether we feel it or not. But we're to come with a heart of thanksgiving. And sometimes the hardest thing, when you've got a heaviness on your shoulders and you've got the weight of the world that you're carrying, it's hard to come with thanksgiving in your heart. But you need to come knowing that God is the God who will solve all things, work out all things, handle all things, be all things, and in that, come with thanksgiving. Come and say, Lord, I don't feel very good right now. I feel weighed down by the world. But I come with a heart of thanksgiving because I know what you've already done in my life. And I know that you've sustained me in my life. And I know you're going to continue to sustain me, and you're going to continue to sustain your church. And so I'm thankful. I am thankful. And I'm going to remain thankful. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, and I already said it earlier, is I want us to set aside a time for fasting. We haven't really talked about that often here. But I think it's important. I think we need to put ourselves in that place about fasting and prayer, because they do go together. The Scripture speaks of it in Daniel 9:3. Daniel had seen this information the angel had given him from the Lord. And so he said, I then set my face toward the Lord God and made a request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes for understanding, for discernment. That's what he was doing, prayer and fasting. And Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek Him from the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. He set aside a time of fasting because that's humility. We're denying ourselves. The Bible says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. This is what we're supposed to do, but if sometimes it's easy to in word to say it. Oh yeah, I'm denying myself. Now what are we going to eat? I'm denying myself, but my favorite thing is coming. I can't put time for the Lord. I got to do this. I've got to do that. And fasting is not just about food. It's about the attitude of the heart and what is keeping us sometimes tied up and not spending the time with the Lord. So as we're talking about a fast here, I want you to understand that it's not just about food. And there are some people also, I want to make sure I encourage you in this, that you have dietary restrictions. You have to have certain type of nutrients, whatever, or you know your body has issues that might respond. So I want you to prayerfully consider in your fasting areas that it's not going to bring harm to whatever illness or sickness or whatever you might have, because this is something that is wisdom. But God's not going to direct you to do something that's going to harm you. Just pray and seek Him on that. But then Matthew 17, 18 to 21, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. And for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." See, the disciples were given instruction to go. They were given the authority to go. They were given the power to go. But in ministry, sometimes it can be about the act of ministry, not the power of God. And you take that and you begin to do. And the disciples were doing. They were going. They were praying. They were bringing healing to people. But they hadn't come to the point of complete submission to God to where they could say, "I truly believe that this demon's going to go, and because I believe that, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to seek before I go out in ministry. I want to make sure that God's sending me to do all that He sent me to do." But they were going out in their own power. And this is a problem that develops in ministry so many times. God sets it up, calls us to go, we get going, and the next thing we know, we're in our own strength again. And we get stalled out. And that's why I want us to be focusing in these areas, because I don't want Calvary Chapel River Oaks to not be in God's power. I don't want Him to be in my ideas and my thoughts and what I want to see happen. And I don't want Him to do just because you guys want to see things happen. I want us to pray that He would reveal that and cause it to rise up by His Spirit to happen according to His plan and through His power. That's what we need to be praying for. And I do believe that we do need to be fasting and praying together. I do believe that no matter what our physical aspect is, that we can deny ourselves in certain areas for certain times, so that we can focus on the Lord in prayer. I was going to have a calendar actually put in the back, but I decided not to do that. But I do want us to be concentrating over these next 2 weeks in particular. We'll probably go beyond that. But in the next 2 weeks, I want each one of you to seek the Lord, to commitment a time for the church, for mission, or for the ministry, and for this community. And I'd like for you to continue in that time, and also want you to continue to ask the Lord for the fasting, that He gives you the time that you can fast and deny yourself, humble yourself before Him, and seek Him for His power and His grace, because that's our prayer. It has to come from Him. If we're not receiving the power from on high, then we don't need to be here. We're just a meeting place. It's got to be His power. And this is part of what the Lord confirmed at the conference in me on Tuesday morning. It was just a major confirmation that just washed over me that this is what He's calling us to do. And it began in our church 2 weeks ago when we all prayed and we came down and we really committed ourselves unto the Lord in prayer and in our relationship with Him. And I will say this too, if you have a time you want to come here to pray, I'll arrange to have the doors open so you can come and pray here if that's what you want to do. And you don't have to. This is just a building. But sometimes to get away from your routine, if you want to find yourself here, we can put some worship music on and you can pray here. It's whatever you want to do. I want to be available to have that happen. And you also, again, can pray in your own prayer closet, whatever you feel like the Lord's calling you to do. This is between us and God. It's between each one of us to commit to this between you and the Lord. And we're dedicating this time specifically for seeking wisdom, direction for this church and this community. And we're praying that the Holy Spirit would pour out upon us and guide us and lead us, and that there would be a great revival that begins right here in this community. Many want to see a revival. You ask churches, oh, I'd love to see revival. Where does it start? Right here. Right there. It has to come from the Holy Spirit to His people to set them on fire for Him. And when He does that, the fire ignites other fires and becomes a wildfire. And that's what our attitude needs to be, that the Holy Spirit will pour out upon us in this community and that it would begin right here. In Jude 1:20 it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." We need to be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying and seeking in His power. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit is here. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have access to the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's got to be a desire of our heart to access that power through prayer, through fasting, through seeking and submitting and dying to ourselves, not walking in fear as we backtrack on what Timothy was taught from Paul, not being ashamed of the gospel, not being timid, but walking in His power and love and the sound mind that the Spirit gives us. And remember, as we pray, it is in His strength that He will sustain us. And that's my prayer. That's our prayer, is that we rely and depend upon His strength that is in us. Pray for His strength to be raised up in each of us and in power as we commit to pray for the outpouring. And I believe it's coming. I don't know what God's got in store. It's not about numbers. I want to make sure I make that very clear. I'm not out here to just seek thousands of people. I mean, hallelujah, if the Lord anoints and sets on fire in this community and raises that up. I'm not putting a count on an ending or beginning on it. That's up to the Lord. But we have to be available. We have to be willing. And we have to be praying. Father, we come this morning and we do put ourselves at Your feet because You are our source, Lord. You're a source of power. You're our source of strength. You're our source, Lord, to minister one to another. In the church, we encourage one another. We pray for one another. And outside of the church, we witness to those who are not yet believers. And God, so many times, opportunities come and go because we're focusing on our day and our situation around us or our trials or suffering, and we're not focused upon You. And if we stay focused upon You, the power that You have then flows through us to accomplish the work that you want to raise up. So we submit to You, Lord. We trust You. We take all of the trials, all of the suffering, all of the fears, all of the anxieties, all the worries, the doubt, everything that this world throws at us, Lord, because that's Satan's arsenal. To throw these things upon us and weigh us down. And we come to You, Lord, and we give all of that stuff to You. We empty ourselves of all of these things, Lord, that would distract us, and we want You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit and lead us by Your Holy Spirit and do the work that You want to accomplish in this community, Lord. And may You be glorified in everything that's done. We don't want glory. We don't want a pats on the back, Lord. We want all glory to Jesus Christ. All praise, all honor, and all glory go to You for what You're doing and what You're going to do. And I stand this morning believing in my heart that You've already begun to do it. You've already begun to do it. Have Your way, O Lord. Have Your way, O Lord. We love You, Jesus. We praise You this morning. We glorify Your name. We thank you because you're a God who is worthy of all praise and honor. You created us, you sustain us, and you will deliver us to the end because you tell us in your word that you who are faithful, that we start in ministry, Lord, you're faithful to complete it in us. You're faithful to complete it. But it has to be yours, not ours. You do the work in us. Let us be obedient. And let us continually go with praise and thanksgiving in our heart. As we sing, Hallelujah, Abba Father. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. And all God's people said, Amen and Amen.